we're living in some unusual times, living in the last days. But, you know, we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. Amen. And so we have a reason to be happy and to rejoice. And we don't have to get caught up in the doom and gloom, amen, of the world and the message that the enemy is sending, a message of hopelessness when we have the God of all hope on our side. And God is going to be glorified in all the earth. And every knee will bow before him. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. So we say, Lord, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come to rule. Come to reign. Amen. God's going to put an end to the foolishness. Hallelujah. So I want to talk this morning about something that I have talked on quite a bit in the past, but I feel it's a timely word, and it may upset some people. But you know I'm good at that. So I've worked many years on perfecting that skill. The key here is that we obey God and speak what he's speaking. Amen. And not everybody's going to agree with everything that I see and I say. But I'm going to speak it anyways because I answer to the Lord. Amen. And so I do fear the Lord and I want to speak the truth. Amen. And if you love somebody, you tell them the truth. Amen. You speak the truth to them. Even if they don't like it. If you have children, you got to tell your kids, right? Sometimes the hard facts. And you have to exercise your authority as a parent too. Amen. I want to just start out with saying that legitimate authority is the authority that God gives. All authority belongs to Jesus Christ. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And so legitimate authority, true authority, comes from God. So Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now, Romans 13, verse 4 in the New Living Translation says, the authorities are God's servants sent for your good. Emphasis on for your good. So good government, good authority is sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So this is the question I'm sure many of us have asked, and maybe you're asking this already. And that is, do we obey without question those who are in power over us? Are there ever exceptions to these commands? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. And hopefully come to an understanding from God's perspective. Amen. God gave us his instruction manual and he's given us the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of truth to help us understand his ways. And sometimes, guys, we can be very literal about things. Sometimes the word is literal. It means exactly what it says. And other times you need to take what you see and you need to cross-reference it. You need to rightly divide it, amen, throughout the theme of Scripture to get the full understanding of something. Otherwise, we can just take one little truth and we can try to build on that truth, but we can build in a way where eventually it becomes something different than what was intended by the author. So you can read the Word of God, you can read the Bible, but if you don't know the heart of the one who wrote it, if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God helping you understand, then you can come up with all kinds of variations and sometimes just literally obey the commands, okay, without understanding exactly what the Lord wants you to understand about that. Do we obey the Word of God? Yes. Does God know everything? Yes. Is he smarter than we are? Yeah. Of course, right? So we need to understand the Word of God, but we need to also understand what the Word of God is saying to us. Because you can sit down in a classroom with 20 people and look at a certain scripture, and you could have a half a dozen people with different interpretations of what's being said. And in some cases, people want to argue. and they want to win the debate because it makes them feel good to know something you don't know, or possibly to, you know, to correct you. So it strokes their ego, if you will. How many know that knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies? Love builds. Amen. So whenever we speak the truth, we're supposed to speak the truth in love. Amen. By the Spirit of grace. Amen. And consider that you and I are all subject to deception. Apart from the help of the Holy Spirit, we can believe a lot of lies and think they're true. So we really need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and rely upon Him to lead us into all truth. And so it doesn't matter how long we've been a believer, we need to keep a teachable spirit, okay, until the end. Because there's always more for us to grasp and learn. God, His word is inexhaustible. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? So, do we obey without question those who are in power over us? Let me give you an example. A man can have a lot of power, but yet not possess legitimate authority. A person can have power, but not possess legitimate authority with the power. Okay, here's an example. A boxer. A boxer has trained. They're well built, right? They know how to fight. They're strong. And yet, the boxer has to remain under authority in order to win the fight lawfully. Correct? He may have a lot of power, and he could sucker punch somebody, you know, or the bell could ring and then he can knock somebody out. Well, guess what? That doesn't qualify, right? Because he was outside of the limits of his authority within the ring. A boxer could attempt to tell the referee what to do. Get mad, get upset with the ref, right? Because they may feel like they made a misjudgment in the call. The boxer does not have the authority to tell the judges how to judge the fight. Are you hearing me, somebody? His authority is to play within the rules in the ring. Amen? So he's got power. And he's got a certain amount of authority that's legitimate as long as he stays within the boundaries that have been set for him. Is this making sense? So you and I likewise are to stay within the boundaries that God has placed upon our lives, because He has given us ability. He's given us charisma. He may have given you, you know, great power or even physical strength, but we have to take that strength and keep it under control, or we can get in trouble with it. The Holy Spirit empowers us to have control over what we do in our body. Can you say amen? So we may be a powerful person, but if we are not a disciplined person, if we're not a person who's under authority, then we can simply be a loose cannon. We can cause more damage than good. So God has an order to everything, and God has placed everything under Christ and made Him to be head over the church. So we are to take our instructions, right? Our commands are to come from the Lord Jesus, amen? And you and I are His servants. And so the Lord said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be my witnesses. In other words, we are representing His interests. We are there to represent the Lord and not ourselves. So you may have power, but if you use that power illegitimately, that means you take it out from under God's authority. It's now illegitimate authority. And you can be destructive with that which God has given you. So in all things, we are to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. There's where the safety's at. So you can have power and yet not possess legitimate authority. Here's another one. In Colossians 3:18, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as fitting in the Lord. Now, as a woman, women have a lot of power. If you don't think so, just look at the great men in the Bible. How a woman can make or break a man very easily. In many cases, right? Men have a weakness when it comes towards the opposite sex. And some women will use their power to exploit that and take advantage of men. And by the way, it works both ways, doesn't it? Okay, we're not here to beat up on the ladies, all right? But we are talking about, you know, a submission, and it's a willful submission. Because you have the ability to do what you want, and you could use your own cleverness, you could use your own ability to manipulate or control somebody in your life, amen? But if you are manipulating somebody or controlling them contrary to their will, now you're operating in a spirit of witchcraft. So, a lady, you have power, amen, to do what you want in the situation, and you're going to see things that your husband won't see. You're going to have an ability that he doesn't have, amen? And that's why God calls men and women to a partnership, amen, where you can share in life together and help each other out, amen? You be a support for one another in the areas of each other's weakness. So it's a partnership. Women are not inferior to men. They are actually the same substance, amen? Woman came out of man, and then God brought them back together again. So it's not a thing about equality that the world tries to throw down your throat, all right? It's about being in your place, in your role, in your responsibility, under the authority that God has placed in your life. And therefore, it says, wives, submit yourselves to the husbands, as is fitting in the Lord, right? Because you may have power to do what you want, but you need to stay under the authority that God has placed in your life, because when you are under the authority that God has placed in your life, you're under his protection. God will protect you there. Now hear it. It doesn't mean that you submit to abuse. I'm not talking about that. Because a godly man would never abuse his wife, right? He would cherish her. He would protect her. All right? He would be there for her. So, the question again is, do we always obey, okay, authorities without question? And David was 70 years old. He's in declining health. He's at the end of his life. Adonijah was David's son. It's his oldest surviving son. And so Adonijah thought that he was the next in line for the throne. His other sons, Amnon, Absalom, and even Chileab, were already gone. And in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 5, it says, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. Now, let's just park right there for a second. There's where the problem began, right there, okay? We are to humble ourselves under the hand of God, and he will lift us up and honor. That's how it comes. Through humility is the way up, amen, in the kingdom. In the world, people are exalting themselves. They're trying to grab power. They're trying to grab positions. And they're trying to step over other people often just to get to the next level, right? The corporate ladder, whatever it might be. Sometimes people use belittlement to get ahead. They have to tear somebody else down in order to build themselves up. But, you know, there's a saying that I heard years ago. It says, if you belittle, then you are little. To belittle is what? To belittle. To belittle somebody, right, is to belittle. So he did what? He exalted himself and he says, I will be king. And what did he do? He prepared of himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not rebuked him at that time, saying, why have you done this? So there was a problem. The father should have stepped in. Now, Adonijah, he was also very good looking. His mother had borne him after Absalom. Then he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they followed and helped Adonijah. So here he has a little entourage. He has a little following. What was happening? Adonijah was conspiring to steal the throne. That belonged to who? Solomon. Yeah. Solomon. So do you think that Joab and Abiathar were doing the right thing by helping Adonijah? No. No. Okay. In verse 8 it says, but Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. So David had men around him that were loyal, they were faithful, they would not undermine his authority, even when they had the opportunity to do so. You see, they may have had power in themselves to, like Adonijah, to gain a following. A following after who? After themselves. But instead, they understood that God sets up authority, and you and I likewise need to be under the authorities that God has placed in our lives so that we'll have God's covering, God's protection under that authority. I'm a man under authority as well. We all need to be under the authorities that God has placed. If you go outside these walls, amen, and you get in your car and you start driving down the street, guess what? You're under the civil authorities, amen. If that stop sign's there for a reason. It's there to do what? Yeah, right, to protect you, right? Yeah, to stop you and protect you. Okay, you may think, well, you know what? I have the ability to just run that red light. Well, yes, you do. You have power in yourself to do what you want with that car. However, the authority says you need to stop when it's red, and the reason why is because you will be protected if you do so. Are you following this? You need both power and authority working together in our lives. Sometimes you got people that are out looking for power, all right, and asking God to give them power, but they don't want to be under any authority. With that. That's why we need the body, amen. We need each other. We should be accountable and responsible for one another. Amen. I am my brother's keeper. I will answer to God. Amen. For what I do. And so I want to be responsible over that which God has invested in me, to be faithful, to do what He's told me to do, what He's shown me to do, and to speak the words that He tells me to speak, regardless of whether or not it's popular. Because as an ambassador, we are representing the one, once again, that has what sent us. We don't represent our own interests as God's servants, as God's people. So, what did Adonijah do in verse 9? It says he sacrificed sheep and oxen and fattened cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, I think that's right, which is by Enrogel. He also invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. So before David died, what happens is Adonijah decides to exalt himself and proclaim himself as king. So again, he prepares this great entourage. He enlists Joab and Abiathar the priest. He had some people, even a clergy, by the way, that was complicit with it, willing to follow after this rogue operator. And also because Adonijah was a good-looking man, he won a great following. How many know sometimes people's looks can get them places, right? And get you in trouble too, somebody said. So Adonijah offered sacrifices. So here we have also, at least by appearance, a good-looking man and a religious man. Because he did what? He offered many sacrifices. Sometimes we think if we just do a lot of favors for God, then God will overlook the areas of our rebellion. Or sometimes we think we just do all these things and somehow God owes us a position or whatever. So he sacrificed many animals. I mean, know that God's more concerned about our obedience than our sacrifice. Amen? Is God opposed to sacrifice? Not at all. God is in the sacrifice. God will honor that if it's done in the right heart, the right spirit, as unto Him and not unto men, right? So here I think he's putting on this great show. He's impressing people. He's good looking. He's probably charming, very charismatic individual. And he knows how to get a following. And so because he had possessed these certain powers, soul powers, he used them to do what? To usurp the throne that was not rightfully his. Because God had promised that to Solomon. So it says in verse 10, but he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the mighty man, or Solomon his brother. Isn't that the way it is? When somebody's running rogue, they avoid certain people. You know what I'm saying? They don't hang around certain people that would challenge them in what they're doing in any way. So when Nathan got the word of this plot, he went and reported it to Bathsheba. and gave her advice as to what she should say to David in 1 Kings 1 and verse 13. He says, go immediately to King David and say to him, did you not, my lord, O king, swear to your maidservant, saying, assuredly your son Solomon shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? So here again, we see who Solomon was, the one that God had appointed for the position, not Adonijah. And God is the one who appoints, and he anoints those who he appoints. So a person in power, hear me, without legitimate authority is an illegitimate leader. Hear me. A person in power without legitimate authority is an illegitimate leader. Because God is the one who places people in office. However, you look through Scripture and you see that the devil, from the beginning, was a usurper. He tries to take that which is not rightfully his. And he'll take it through manipulation or through force or through intimidation. The enemy uses intimidation to try to control people, to bow down and do what he tells them to do, to think what he's thinking, to speak what he's speaking, or else. The enemy wants to give people ultimatums. If you don't do what we say, then something's going to happen. You're going to get canceled. So Nathan told Bathsheba in verse 14, then while you are still talking there with the king, I also will come in after you and confirm your words. So Bathsheba went into the chamber of the king, to the king. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was serving the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did homage to the king. Then the king said, what is your wish? Then she said to him, my lord, you swore by the Lord your God to your maidservant, saying, assuredly Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. So now look, Adonijah has become king, and now, my lord, the king, you do not know about it. In verse 22, we'll skip to verse 22. And just then, while she was still talking with the king, Nathan the prophet came in just like they had talked, right? This is the plan. So they told the king, saying, here is Nathan the prophet. And when he came in before the king, he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, my lord, O king, have you said, Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? In verse 28, David answered and said, call Bathsheba to me. So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king took an oath and said, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. So I certainly will do this day. He was a man of his word. He had swore that Solomon would ascend the throne upon his death. Amen. And so here we see selfish ambition, where somebody's ambitious for an office or prestige or for power or for the accolades of men. But God is the one who exalts, and God is the one who places. And if God places you in position, then you don't have to live defensively. You don't have to build walls around you to protect you. You don't have to put up fencing with concertina wire. We're going somewhere with this. In verse 39, then Zadok the priest, in obedience to David, right? A horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the horn, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. Now we know that, I'm paraphrasing, but Adonijah got his butt handed to him. Okay? He heard all the commotion and all the carrying on and all the celebration. What is all this? Guess what? Brother, you in trouble. And God brought him, amen, and he put him out of this city, amen, and warned him not to come back. So he spared his life, but he was exiled as a result of his disobedience. Now man can try to force his will on others and listen and may be successful for a season. But eventually, what God has planned will come to pass. Do you understand? You and I can use the power we have to do things and accomplish things. But eventually, the will of God is going to succeed. God's will prevail in the earth. It doesn't matter what the devil does, how hard he tries, how he tries to usurp authority, take advantage of people, oppress people. God's purposes will succeed. Amen? He will prevail. Hallelujah. His will be accomplished in all the earth. Even though at times we're going to have to put up with the opposition of our enemy because he's using his power, okay, without legitimate authority now, to try to bring oppression. So the devil does have power, but he does not have the authority. Guess who has the authority? Jesus, amen? And so the devil seeks to get us to bow down to him, to obey him, to yield to temptation, to do what's wrong, for the purpose of what? Usurping authority and using it against us. Because he doesn't have it. Jesus has already spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high place. He stripped them of their panoply. Amen? So the authority belongs to Jesus Christ. All authority has been given unto me where? In heaven and on earth. Go therefore in my name, he said. Enforce what I've already accomplished for you. So God intervened. He stopped Adonijah from becoming king in place of Solomon. And the reason why is because that was not God's will. It was not his intention. But for a season, guys, sometimes the enemy will seem to have the upper hand. It will seem like the enemy is winning. And sometimes it may seem like the enemy has more power than God. Because sometimes God sits by silently and he allows the enemy to do what he's going to do. Why? Because eventually the enemy is going to hang on his own gallows. Eventually, amen, he's going to cut himself. So God will allow the enemy enough rope to hang himself. Come on, somebody. So no, God is sovereign. He's on the throne. He has a plan. He has his will. Amen? And his will be done. We pray. Our responsibility is pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth, just like it is in heaven. So God is calling us to partnership with him in this, to pray for his kingdom reign to come. Amen? To the earth. Now, again, man can be successful in his rebellion for a season. But Proverbs 19 and verse 21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, what? That shall stand. Now, in America, I know many of us are wondering what's going on. What's going to happen? In America, our Constitution was based upon the Word of God. And it is the standard by which our nation is to be governed. Our elected leaders raised their hands and swore to uphold and defend this Constitution. Amen? From all enemies were foreign and domestic. And so they are expected, as we, the people, have elected them to office, to do what? To keep their oath before the people whom they represent. And most importantly, they had swore an oath before Almighty God. And so I believe that the devil wants the American Christians to be silenced. He wants us to stay out of politics and just accept things the way they are. It's just the way it's going to have to be. Why don't we just move along, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, pay no attention to what we're up to. Just live your life in your own little Christian bubble. Don't get involved. Don't speak up. Because if you do, you'll get canceled. You speak your mind. Oh, you might be labeled. You may be called a racist or whatever else. All the phobes they got going on these days. I can't keep up with them all. The enemy wants to silence the church because you and I have the message, the word of the gospel, the word of truth, amen. And it's the truth that will set captives free, that will break the yoke of the oppressor, hallelujah, that it will turn things around in this nation. God wants to reign again, amen, over this over this nation. And so there's a war going on among us, amen, right now. It's really a spiritual war. And you and I have been called and enlisted as soldiers in God's army to partner with Him for His purposes to be accomplished, amen. And so we must endure hardship as good soldiers. God gives us the panoply. He gives us His armor, amen. He gives us His power. He gives us His authority, amen, to go in His name and to enforce what He's already accomplished for us. The enemy wants us to believe that it's beyond help. It's beyond hope. Just give up and give in and go along with the program. Be good little sheeple. Don't question it. By the way, all authority we're supposed to obey. Well, all authority. All legitimate authority you and I are responsible before God to obey. We are to obey our leaders. Can you say amen? But when a leader steps out from under their authority, they're no longer a legitimate authority. They are a rogue operator with a selfish ambition and a motivation to oppress. This is where the people of God need to stand up and say, we will not bow down to the spirit of Baal. We will not bow down to the spirit of Antichrist. We will not allow the devil to silence us. God gave us the freedom of speech. Amen. Whether it's in the Constitution or not, God's given us the right to protect ourselves. Somebody say amen. God wants His people to know who they are and the authority that He has given them, authorized us, amen, to enforce what He's already accomplished. Hallelujah. The devil uses deception and lies. He's got the media all wrapped up, doesn't he? Saying exactly what he wants everybody to hear. And if people don't do any cross-referencing, if they don't have any critical thinking, they just go along with whatever they're hearing, thinking it's truth. When it's a lie, it's deception. We have the true Word of God. Amen. We have the truth. We have the Spirit. So we may know the things that are freely given to us in Christ. Yes, we are to pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy 2:1. Now here's the question, guys. How should we pray for our leaders? How? Now, I cannot in good conscience pray for the success of any leader who opposes the Word of God. Instead, I will pray for them, but I will pray for their repentance. That God, like He did Nebuchadnezzar, He will get a hold of them. Amen? And humble them. And they'll learn not to blaspheme. They'll learn not to oppose, amen, the will of God. They won't speak against God or His name or His people. We pray, Lord, humble them. Lord, bring them to repentance that they might be saved. And I believe the devil wants to take our government primarily because he wants to stop the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. America is still the number one exporter, amen, of the gospel. And through missions in the earth. And the enemy is trying to shut us down and stop us. But God's will prevail. God will be glorified in all the earth. He is going to decide when it's time up for America. Amen? Not the media. Not the government. Not the rogue operators in the government. But God's the one who decides who's going to be on the throne. And once again, legitimate authority is authority that is under God's authority. When a king is coronated, amen, it's more than just the anointing oil they pour. It's actually a supernatural thing that happens. When the right person is anointed, amen, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon that person. And that's how sometimes you have leaders who are not supposed to be in certain positions. Because they usurped the position. But they're not legitimate because God did not place them there. Therefore, they don't have the blessing and the favor of God. And God does not like it when somebody usurps a position that He has not ordained. Are you hearing me, somebody? The same thing goes with ministry. Ministers. We need to be called. We need to be anointed for what we're doing. Amen. Whatever capacity God has called us to. That's the authority that God has given us. That's where we need to operate. Amen? You can't just go to a Bible school, amen, and get a diploma and and get ordained and be a minister for Jesus if he hasn't called you to that particular office? If he hasn't called you to a pastoral office, then you shouldn't be a pastor. Are you hearing me, somebody? And whatever it is that we do and everything, whatever it is we're called to do in life, God is the one who appoints. And he anoints that which he appoints. We're to pray for our leaders. But how should we pray for them? I say we should pray for the will of God to be done. Amen? If they're going contrary to the will of God, then we should never pray for their success. Come on, somebody, say amen. Amen. Unfortunately, a lot of churches now are just getting on the bandwagon, oh, we should be praying for their success. Well, successful in what? Aborting babies? Oh, that's politically incorrect. Do you understand? We are going to be accountable for what we allow or disallow. When I pray for people, there's some people that God tells me not to pray for anymore. You know what I'm talking about? There's certain people that God said, don't pray anymore. I'm going to do something wrong. I'm going to discipline that person, whatever. And other people, you just have that burden of prayer for them. You know what I'm talking about? They're just on your heart. And when you pray, it's quick and the Spirit of the Lord is there in that. Amen. But there's other times when I prayed for people for a season and all of a sudden the Lord just kind of put a stop to it. It's like time is up. Either the Lord is already going to answer and intervene, or he's going to do something different in that situation. So, guys, the same thing is true. We need to pray for our leaders. But how we pray for them is very important. We want to pray that they get saved. Amen? That they get saved. That they repent and they turn to the Lord. Because the Lord is not willing that anyone should perish. And we should not feel the same way. Even though we disagree with them and the things that they're doing, we should not wish anybody to go to hell. Can you say amen?
Amen?
We just also need to remember the mercies that God has shown us. Say, Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life. You pulled me out of that pit. You cleaned me up. Amen. And called me son. And Lord, I don't want to, amen, point a finger at somebody else. Amen. A condemning finger. That's up to God. Amen. God will make the final determination. God will make the final judgments about people's souls. Amen. We just need to partner with him in obedience to what he wants us to do. And I know God wants us to pray for one another. Amen. Pray for our leaders, but pray according to his will. Lord, I pray either you save them, transform them, or remove them and replace them with somebody who will be godly or righteous. Someone who will fear the Lord. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. The Lord is patient. He's long-suffering, not willing that anyone should perish. God is giving people an opportunity right now to be saved. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So the church in America, we need to take a stand against evil. We need to not comply with the spirit of Antichrist, which seeks to control and destroy us. You and I are salt and we are light. We are the influencers in this world. Amen? The church is actually supposed to be the influencer in the government. They've got that all twisted around, the separation of church and state. The church is actually supposed to be influencing the decisions that are made in Washington. And guys, this is not a battle against flesh and blood, as you know. But our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. And God wants us to partner with him in agreement with his will and pray for his kingdom to come, his reign to be established. Hallelujah. In every echelon of government, all the way down to the local levels. Come on, somebody. God can and will change things if you and I will continue to partner and believe. I believe that all things, not just some things, but all things are possible to them that believe. God's got a people. He's always had a remnant. Amen. But if the ones that are called by his name will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and do what? Turn from their wicked ways. If we as his people will repent, amen, and partner and call on God, hallelujah, he'll answer from heaven, forgive our sin, and what? Heal. Heal our land. Hallelujah. So Adonijah did what? He exalted himself. He was successful for a short time in usurping the throne and stealing the position from Solomon. So, again, would it be right to pray for Adonijah to succeed? Would it be right to pray for any leader that's illegitimate in a position to succeed in that position? Thank you. You know where I'm going with this? Am I speaking the truth today? Okay, so understand, we need to understand what God's will is, that we might pray according to His will. Because all authority comes from Jesus. And the way up in the kingdom is humility. And James 4 and 10, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Don't exalt yourself. Don't seek to make a name for yourself. Don't look for the praises of people. But humble yourself, amen, and look for the approval that will come from the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord, amen, and do those things. Hallelujah. And so here we see in Acts chapter 5, verse 27, when they had brought the apostles, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us, speaking of the Lord. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So yes, submit to the governing authorities, obey them, okay, live according to law, be exemplary citizens, amen, so that nobody can point a finger at, you know, well, they cheat on their taxes, or they lie, or they steal from their neighbor, or they gossip, whatever it might be, amen. We should be good citizens of this country, amen. How many know a good country has good citizens, amen? That do obey and understand the value of having good laws that are there to protect the citizens, amen, lest we be overrun, lest we be destroyed. So laws are good, but power without authority is a dangerous thing. When a person wants to operate in power, but they don't want to be under the authority of the Lord, they end up causing damage. That's what spirit of witchcraft is all about. It's man using manipulating power, the dunamis, amen, that God has given, for the wrong reason. Now here, we ought to obey God rather than men. This is the proper response to government overreach. Guys, listen, it's not easy to talk about these things. Everybody, I'm sure, has felt the pressure to conform, to be politically correct, to do what basically the enemy is pressuring you and bullying you to do. Just be a good sheep, shut up, put a gag on it, stay apart, don't get too close to anybody. We're going to protect you. We will be your parents. Trust us. Trust the government. We will be your parents. In other words, we are God. You don't answer to anybody except us. And we tell you when and what and how and where. We need to make a stand and say, but God is my authority. As long as you are under the authority of God, we're good. As long as you don't contradict the will or the word of God, we will obey everything that you say, amen? But when it comes to defying the authority of God by undermining the word of God, that's where we need to, like the disciples, the apostles here, make a stand and say we ought to obey God rather than man. And there are often consequences. But guys, listen, too many today, I think in America, even some of the large churches are already kowtowing and bowing down to all this pressure and the intimidation of the enemy. It is really a spirit. It is a spirit of Antichrist to bring people into conformity so that they will herd us and they will train us like sheep. And eventually they're going to lead us to the slaughter. Now is the time for the church to rise up and say no more. Now is the time for us to say, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Now is the time to say, Lord, grant us justice against the oppressors. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And He's given us new life. Whose authority are we under? We're under the Lord's authority. Amen? Hallelujah. Our kingdom is not of this world also, by the way. We're here for a season. Amen. I love America. I'm going to pray and stand in the gap for our nation. Amen. But ultimately, guys, everything we see is going to pass away. Come on, right? And we're all going to see the Lord someday. And it's going to be the most important at that time that you hear the Lord say, well done. Oh, not that you bowed down to the spirit of Antichrist, but you stood your ground. You did everything you could do to stand and you stood because you trusted in me. And you know what? I find that if you stand for Christ, He stands for you. You stand up for Jesus, He's going to stand up for you. You take a stand in the right direction, He's going to support you in that. He's going to help you through that. Don't listen to that lie anymore. Somehow, and within a short period of time, our nation went from being free to being so controlled. To the degree that we're so afraid that somebody may look at us funny of, oh, you got your mask down under your nose. Be a good sheeple. Yeah. Yeah. What happened to our liberties? What happened to our freedoms? Well, the devil's gotten involved. But God is on the throne. And we are His people. And He's given us authority in His name. And we can enforce what He's already accomplished. The devil's a liar and he's a thief. Amen. And we're praying, Lord, give us justice against our adversaries. How many know that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood again? It's not against people, but it's against these forces that are manipulating and using people. So the battle is the Lord's ultimately. Amen. But we need to partner with Him and pray for His kingdom to come and His will be done. And guys, I'm not saying be belligerent. And be inconsiderate of somebody. If somebody is afraid that maybe you're going to be a spreader or something, you know, out of respect for them, you do what's right in your own heart. Amen. I'm not saying that you don't wear a mask. I'm just saying that we cannot be controlled, amen, by a narrative that's from the pit of hell, amen, that is there to control and manipulate and bring populations of the earth into a place where they'll simply be sheep ready for the slaughter. Amen. They're going to even put the brand on people eventually. It's called the mark of the beast. I don't believe God is through with America. I believe that God has something in store for us. I believe that God is intervening. I believe that God is going to change some things. Amen. But we also need to avoid the temptation to bow down, okay, to evil. Legitimate authority is authority that's in agreement with God's word. All right? Once they step out from under there, amen, I'm not going there. Can you say amen? Amen. God told Joshua, be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. He said, every place the soles of your feet trod, I have given you. Time for us to go out into the land, amen, and possess what is ours. Hallelujah. I'm thankful there's people that are getting involved. You can't just sit in your spiritual bubble, guys. You are salt and you're light. You're influencers. Amen? It's time to speak up when you have the opportunity. A lot of people, it's interesting how all of a sudden their perspective of things changed. They thought they were right, and then they found out they weren't right. Why? Because the truth set them free. They heard the truth. We're all looking for the same thing. Can you agree? We're looking for truth. What is real? What is right? What's authentic? What is God saying? You and I have authority in Jesus Christ, legitimate authority. We need to stay within the confines, the boundaries of that anointing, of that authority. Amen. And as we do so, we will bear fruit unto eternal life. So don't, as James said, think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Think soberly, according to the measure of grace or faith God has given you. So all of us need to one day answer to the Lord for the investment that He's made in us. What have you done with what I gave you? Were you a good steward? Did you go and share? Did you go and trade with that which you received. We are to pray for our leaders, but always according to the will of God. For this is good and acceptable, 1 Timothy 2:3, in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. I want us to pray. Let's pray for our leaders today. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us access to your throne by way of the blood of the new covenant. Lord, we come before you in confidence today because of the blood of Jesus, because of the blood that sanctifies us, Lord. God, we thank you that you hear our prayers. We thank you that you are with us and that you're for us. God, we thank you that you've given us, Lord, a part in what you're doing in the earth today. That we can be partners with you, Lord. That we can, Lord, be an expression of your heart in the earth. And Father, we want to come into agreement right now for your will to be done in Washington, D.C. and throughout every state and local government. God, we pray for your intervention. We pray, Lord, intervene. Hallelujah. And we ask you, Father, to give us justice against the fraud, against the evil. Give us justice against those who have abused and destroyed people's lives. Give us justice against those who have stolen. God, in Jesus' name, give us justice against all oppressors in this nation. Father, our prayer is that you would bring them to repentance, that you will humble them, that you will show them who you are, that you are Almighty God, and that you reign in all the nations, and that every knee will bow to you, every tongue will confess you as Lord Jesus. God, humble these people. Bring them to their knees in repentance. Save them. God, deliver us from the evil one. Rise again, Lord, in this nation. We say, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. God, have mercy. Help us. Give strength to your people, God. Strengthen us. Let hope arise in our hearts again. Let us see beyond the moment. And let us look with expectation to what you have, Lord, that's yet ahead. There is an Elam. There is an oasis. There is a refreshing that is coming. And we look to you now, Father, with hope that you're going to intervene and that there's going to be justice and there's going to be a turnaround and that captives are going to be freed, that there's going to be celebration in this land again, that there's going to be a joy unspeakable that'll come upon your people, that your church will come alive, your church will be revived, your church will be restored, the wayward sons and daughters will be brought home, and the enemy will be crushed under our feet. In Jesus' name, the glory of God the Father. Father, let your kingdom come and will be done in each one of our lives, in our families, in our communities, in every place we go, Lord. Use us for your glory, Lord. Make us a blessing that out of our lives you will shine. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.